You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. 5 years ago, the lives of many Southern Oregon families were suddenly changed when the Alameda wildfire raced through the towns of Talon and Phoenix, destroying homes and businesses and leaving many residents to figure out how to repair their lives from the ashes. A new podcast series called Shaping Ash tells the story of the Alameda wildfire and its impact on the residents of a mobile home community in Talent. Ro Roikas is the producer. Welcome to The Exchange, Ro.
Hi, Mike. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I want to start this conversation with some sound from your podcast series, Shaping Ash. Then we'll chat about it on the other side, okay?
All right.
I started this podcast project 4 years ago, back when I was still in college. I felt really close to the complexities of recovery, and I couldn't keep all that information inside my head. So much has changed since then, even my name. I go by Ro now. I had to pause this project for my health, but ultimately, I knew I had to tell this story. I think we often have illusions of separation from the disaster that could befall us. It happens to someone else, somewhere else. I was in my third year of college when the Alameda fire happened. Up to that point, I'd written essays about frontline communities, those most affected by climate change, but I wrote like I wasn't part of one. I learned about some of the environmental threats to Southern Oregon, like the Pacific Connector Pipeline and the Klamath Dams. Still, I didn't think of Talent, my hometown, as part of a frontline community. When it burned down, that illusion of separation shattered. Any belief that we were safe from climate chaos disappeared.
Ro, tell me about the time that you invested to produce this project.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, so I've been working on this project for 4 years. I started it in college when I was in a program for ecological engineering at Oregon State University. And essentially, when I was still in school, it involved driving down to Talent in Ashland every weekend. You know, outside of that, I think, you know, I ended up interviewing upwards of 30 people for this project. So countless hours and about 4 years of work.
Well, that drive from Corvallis to Talent, what's that, 3 hours or 4 hours?
Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah.
So every weekend, driving through the mountains, 3 to 4 hours each way. That took its toll, didn't it?
Well, I was also in school for engineering and, you know, I managed to graduate and, you know, it was a big investment. It was a big investment, but it was what I really wanted to do. You know, I felt that I really had to do this project.
Well, this was quite a passion project. Let's go back to the time before the fire, when your family first decided to move to Talent. We have some sound from your podcast. Let's listen.
My family moved to Talent Mobile Estates in 2015, when mobile home neighborhoods were becoming some of the only viable housing options for lower-income people in the valley. My mom and grandma moved there after losing their housing.
Little complex was bought by some rich house flippers that kicked everybody out in the middle of winter, and including me, and I had to find a place to live. There was nothing to rent. But I was able to actually buy a little mobile in this park that Marcy already had a spot in.
My mom and grandma are both artists. They both had huge art collections, and they kind of nested and found community at Talent Mobile Estates.
Ro, tell me about the circumstances around that decision that your mom and grandmother made. How'd that affect your life?
Well, you know, the Rogue Valley has been in, you know, like most of America, Rogue Valley is in a housing crisis. And the Alameda fire in 2020 exacerbated that housing crisis. But leading up to 2020, you know, it was getting worse. And I grew up in Talent. I was born in Medford. So my, you know, long story of our housing journey, but, you know, my mom and I's, my childhood home was foreclosed on, which ultimately led to my mom moving to Talent Mobile Estates, a mobile home, manufactured home park in Talent on Arnos Road. And my grandma, yeah, she was in a beautiful old house, and it was essentially bought out and flipped, and they didn't want her as a tenant anymore, even though she'd been there for over 10 years at that point. So Talent Mobile Estates was a really viable option, you know, for a lot of people, as for low-income people in the Valley. And ultimately that was why my family moved to that neighborhood.
How many people were in your family living in the same place?
Just my mom and my grandma. They had two separate units at Talent Mobile Estates.
Okay. You have any siblings?
No, I'm an only child.
Okay. And so moving, how did that affect you school-wise?
Well, 2015, my grandma moved to Talent Mobile Estates. My mom moved there around the same time. I was still in high school, but I mean, not much changed in my situation with my family moving to Talent Mobile Estates. I still took the city bus to Ashland High School.
My guest is Ro Roikas, the producer of Shaping Ash, a new podcast series that tells the story of the Almeda Fire and its impact on a mobile home community in Talent that was wiped out by the fire. Ro, you talked to others in the mobile home community who lost their homes as well. Let's listen to a short excerpt.
Me and my husband bought our mobile home in 2003. Carlos and I were engaged, and we bought that house in 2003, and then 6 months later, we got married. And I think I was 19 and he was 21 when we moved into Talent Mobile Estates. So we pretty much, all our adult life was at Talent Mobile Estates. We got married there. We had our little reception there in the little rec room. Our wedding was there. And then we brought our kids home from the hospital there. Everything, all our kids first were at Talent Mobile Estates.
Ro, there were people living in that community that built their lives there. Children were born and raised there. How did that interview make you feel?
Well, so we're hearing from Yaksana Corona in that clip. And so Talent Mobile Estates was a complex, you know, community. And so it was intergenerational. People relied on each other. And absolutely, to have that wiped out is a loss that is hard to convey in words, because it really was the fabric of people's lives, you know.
Well, it sounds like a close-knit community. Give me a sense of the kinds of people that you talked to. You said you interviewed quite a few, several dozens.
Yeah. So in the span of the project, I interviewed people who had been displaced, people who had lost their homes. I interviewed people who are in the unhoused community in Medford and on the Bear Creek Greenway. I interviewed a lot of community organizers from organizations like Rogue Climate, Coalición Fortaleza, Lomacatzi Restoration, also, I interviewed folks who work for the government. I interviewed Pam Marsh. I interviewed Chief Hanley, the fire chief in Talent. I interviewed reporters. I interviewed fire practitioners. You know, a huge span of people working in the community in recovery, and people who had been affected by the fire in one way or another, and who were trying, you know, we're all trying to chart a pathway forward and navigate this.
Do we know how many families lived in Talent Mobile Estates?
I believe that before the fire, the park housed around 100 families.
Okay. And so you interviewed about a third of them.
Well, I didn't focus on Talent Mobile Estates except for the finale of the project. So Yaksana, who we heard from in the clip that just played, was one of my mom's neighbors at Talent Mobile Estates. And so I definitely, I interviewed my family, but some of the other fire survivors that I interviewed were actually from other mobile home parks that burned. The majority of housing units that burned in the Alameda fire were manufactured and mobile homes.
Gotcha. So that fire hit Talent with virtually no warning.
What we're looking at right here is Talent, Oregon. The entire city is on fire.
Ro, what was happening in your family at the moment when everyone realized they needed to evacuate?
Yeah, my my grandma was taking a nap when the fire was coming. And, you know, the Alameda fire raced up the Bear Creek Greenway from Ashland and blasted through Talent, you know, first town that it blasted through. And so people saw this plume of smoke coming up from the direction of the creek. And, you know, my mom, I believe, was home, and they didn't receive evacuation orders. So it was really neighbors telling neighbors, running around the neighborhood, trying to grab animals and whatever they could, because it was very clear that the fire was coming. So everyone needed to get out, and it was really people helping people.
So there was no early warning system at that time?
Yes.
Where were you?
I was actually in Corvallis at Oregon State University. And, you know, that day for me, ash was raining from the sky, and, you know, the sky was red. And I just got a call from a friend telling me that I needed to call my mom immediately because the fire was coming.
How worried were you?
I was very worried. I had my own, you know, makeshift phone tree, you know, of course, right? So I'm calling everyone that I know that could be in the past of the fire, you know, friends, family, who are, some of them were not aware. I felt like my room in Corvallis was like headquarters or something. You know, I was watching live streams on Facebook of the fire, and I was very I couldn't look away, you know.
Well, you sort of became communications central for a lot of
people. At least for my family. Yeah.
And where did they go?
So my mom had a nightmare, you know, evacuation story. Took her like 5 hours to get to Medford from Talent, which is normally 30 minutes or so. So, you know, our housing journey after the fire involved, you know, a lot of folks opened up their house to us for short amounts of time. And then, in the immediate, you know, months after the fire, it was really moving place to place.
Ro, when we come back, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want you to finish that story. I'll be back shortly with my guest, Ro Roikas, producer of the podcast series Shaping Ash. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Ro Roikas. They produce the podcast series Shaping Ash, which you can listen to at shapingash.com. The series looks at the 2020 Alameda Fire and the impact it had on residents in Talent, Oregon. Before the break, Ro was telling us about their family and how did they escape. Ro?
Yes. It was a nightmare, you know, the Alameda Fire. My family made it out. You know, it was lucky that more people didn't die in the fire.
Because we really had
no warning, you know.
You talked about the time it took to leave Talent just to get to Medford. Medford's right down the street, 20 minutes from Talent. And you say it took them quite a while because the streets were clogged, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. You know, they had Highway 99 completely backed up the fire was raging on both sides of the road. And traffic was being sent back and forth between Phoenix and Talent on Highway 99 without really an option to get off of that road. And so that's thousands of people were displaced by the fire and were, you know, stuck with the fire raging on both sides of the road.
Ro, in episode one of Shaping Ash, you introduced how the fire started. Let's listen.
A fire did start in Ashland, the town adjacent to Talent, where foothills stretch out into the valley carved out by Bear Creek. The cause is still under investigation, but it looked to me like all it took was a cigarette in the grass. Whatever did spark it, it found its fuel in dry brush. The winds propelled the fire forward. A kind of wind corridor got created in the watershed area. People in Talent started to see a massive plume of smoke coming for them.
No one warned us. There was nothing on the radio. There was nothing. Nothing.
Ro, the residents didn't have much time to plan their escape, and they had no idea that there would be nothing to return to. That's extraordinary.
Yeah, absolutely. People were really scattered to the wind, right?
So your family managed to get out. Then what?
Then, you know, it's the long process of finding housing. A lot of people opened up their homes to us for short periods of time. So, you know, it was difficult moving so many times with my grandma because she had a lot of health issues that made mobilization difficult. So mobility, I mean. So, you know, staying somewhere for 2 weeks, moving to another place that has a lot of stairs, you know, staying there for 3 weeks, you know, it was a very difficult time.
And that community was pretty close-knit. I mean, neighbors knew each other, and during the confusion of everyone evacuating with the fire closing in on them, there was a kid looking for a cat. Let's listen to that sound from your episode, Shaping Ash.
As she was leaving, ash rained down from the sky. The fire was maybe 700 feet away in the neighboring trailer park. A local kid came over to her to ask for help.
Came running up to me and saying, my cat's lost. I can't find my cat. And by this time it's raining ash. Anyway, Rev and I told her she had to go home to her mom and get out. I said, you can't be running around right now. You can't go find your kitty. You gotta go.
Ro, that's tragic to hear. What happened to that child and their cat?
So that clip is from the pilot episode. And actually, when you listen to the very last episode of the podcast, you hear from Yoxana Corona. And she shared with me that that child who ran up to my mom was actually her daughter. And, you know, they ended up finding all of their cats. It took them, I think she said, 60 days after the fire to find all of their cats, because they had, you know, I think like 6 cats. But they had to come back many times to the park over the following months to locate all of their animals. And it was like that for a lot of people.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then having a child run loose looking for their cat, I can imagine that the parents are looking for the child.
From my understanding, you know, Yoxana and her kids were looking for the cats in kind of their last moments before they got out of the park. So I'm sure that she knew where her daughter was.
Well, that's good to hear. My guest is Ro Roikas, producer of the podcast series Shaping Ash. You can listen to it at shapingash.com. Now, Ro, we've been conditioned to think about mobile home parks in certain ways, but Talent is a naturally scenic town with a creek running through it. And mobile home residents that who lived there lived on prime property with beautiful views. Now that's gone. The burnt, charred residue still remains. You captured some sound of memories, and one was the memory of beautiful ash trees in Talent. Let's listen.
What else did you love about the neighborhood?
I loved the ash trees. They would all turn brilliant gold in the fall. It was just glorious. And then, of course, they'd all fall on the ground. It was a big mess to clean up, but... while they were doing their thing, it was great. Little did I envision them all burning torches, you know.
That really hit me. Burning torches. I can't even imagine that scene.
Yeah, well, you know, the mobile home parks in Talent and the mobile home parks that burned along the Bear Creek Greenway were actually, you know, zoned and placed in one of the most vulnerable spots when it came to a fire, you know, raging up the wind corridor of the, you know, Bear Creek watershed. Mostly mobile homes were zoned for that area, and mostly mobile homes burned. Certainly those ash trees were very beautiful. That was a clip with my grandma.
So how many of the people that you interviewed have moved back to Talent, rebuilt their lives?
No one who I interviewed was able to move back to Talent or to, you know, where they had lived before. The folks that I interviewed who were fire survivors have had to move further and further out, you know, Central Point, further out in Medford. There have certainly been people who have returned to Talent Mobile Estates. Coalición Fortaleza is doing really important work to make Talent Mobile Estates the Rogue Valley's first resident-owned mobile home park. And to my understanding, at least, you know, a few families have moved back to Talent Mobile Estates. But for many, many people who lost their homes, they have had to move further and further out of town. I mean, my family moved to Corvallis, so.
Wow. In the aftermath of that horrible fire, a lot of residents, as you said, could not move back. But that entire community is now gone. it's lost permanently. And for some people, they didn't even have much life left to rebuild.
I feel kind of erased. The past is erased. I have to start over. And I don't feel like there's that much of me left.
Ro, who is that?
That is my grandma. And she passed away about 2 years after the fire.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Yeah. One of my first interviews for this whole project was with my grandma. And, getting those interviews with her shortly before she passed away was made the project even, kind of a time capsule in that way, too. In that clip, you really hear that, how can you heal from something when you're already sick and your whole life, all the material history of your life has been wiped away. It was really, really hard on her.
Ro, what do you want listeners to take away from your podcast?
Well, I would like my podcast to be something that stays with people. I would like people to engage in their community. That was a really big part of this, outside of telling my family's story, how the community stepped up and tried to protect housing and doing important work on harm reduction, prescribed burning in Southern Oregon. This podcast was a really unique way to get information out about the complexities of the fire. And I hope that folks can have some compassion and more engagement in their community.
So what's next for you in your life?
Well, this project was a huge part of my healing process. It was a major stage of my healing. And now with finishing this project, putting it out there and owning it and finally moving on, I would say I'm entering another stage of healing from the fire. My family is doing okay. We're moving on, and I'm moving on to other creative projects. So more visual art.
And you have your degree?
I do. I would. I have a bachelor's in ecological engineering, so I am in trying to get jobs in the public and in water quality.
So where did your mother end up?
My mom is living in Corvallis, and she is moving to Florence in the next year, Florence on the coast, to kind of be part of another artist's community again, like she had when she lived in Talent.
And will you stay here in this region?
I've been living in Portland for a couple of years, and I plan to stay here.
Is that where you'll make your career?
If everything works out, we hope. We hope I'll make a career, sure.
What would you like?
I'd really like to, this project was a big, way for me to have a creative outlet. And I think I need creative outlets to deal with anything in life. So it was a pathway forward, and I wouldn't be where I am now if I hadn't done this project. So, yeah.
Well, thank
you. Beautiful experience.
Thank you for sharing this with us, Ro. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mike.
My guest was Ro Roikas, producer of the podcast series Shaping Ash. You can listen to it at shapingash.com. Up next, we'll talk with the organizers of the Southern Oregon Pride Festival. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR.